Blog Talk Radio.
The First Epistle General of John. 1 John 1.
That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled, of the word of life. For the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness, and show unto you that eternal life, which was with the Father, and was manifested unto us. That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father, and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. This then is the message which we have heard of him, and declare unto you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him, and walk in darkness, we lie, and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ his Son cleanseth us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins, and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us.
Praise the Lord, brothers. This is Deacon Thomas Farr, and this is Issues Christian Men's Talk. I pray that all is well with you and your families. You got this link on your phone, or if you got the link, listen to us on Facebook at our Facebook page, Issues Christian Men's Talk, or you can go always, as always, and go to www.blogtalkradio.com/Deacon Thomas Farr and listen to this show and the archive shows we have there. And also, if you go to the website, you can click on follow, and you will get updates when we download or record new programs, new discussions points, and you can get a reminder or get an update to come and listen to the newest show. But again, for most of the brothers that are receiving this, you're receiving it either by email or on your phone through text, and I thank you for taking the opportunity to share it with other brothers that you may be discipling and ministering to and trying to reach them for Christ that might encourage them to be and help them in this Christian walk as we fulfill our purpose and plan as men of God, to be husbands, fathers, and sons, and to be leaders in the church, in the community, and in our homes. Amen. So tonight we're going to talk about a couple of things. I have a guest on coming on again, one of our brothers that joined me previously on one of our other discussions, our Pastor Gibbs, and he's going to be joining us shortly. But first, I just want to, again, share some insights. As always, I encourage you, man, when you listen to this, or you log on, be able to have a pen, piece of paper, take some notes. We'll give you some scripture references, and something might be said that you might want to write down, like again. But if you listen to it the first time, you can always go back. The shows are there, so they're always there. You can go back and listen to them. Amen. So let's begin again. Tonight we're going to be talking about humility, humbling ourselves, and what that means as men of God. And also, we're going to give a little insight on being humble, even in our position as leaders, because a lot of people think leaders are not called to be humble or to have humility that goes along with their responsibility and their authority. So I just want to encourage the brothers in that. So we're going to talk a little bit about that as we touch base with that. But again, tonight, I just wanted to start again, as always. We use a lot of words, we use a lot of things in the church and in what we call Christianese and the languages, and we say a lot of things to the unsaved folk, even as we try to reach and mentor and disciple them or even evangelize them. So tonight I want to give a definition to a term. We're going to be talking about sin. What is sin? And I'm reading from a catechism that I got back in 2000. Well, the catechism, it's been around a long time. It's a study of the Word, study of some of the principles of God and some of the things of God. It gives explanation and scripture references. Amen. But tonight I just wanted to share and talk a little bit about catechism. Hold on 1 minute here. I just lost it. Oh, there it is. Okay, sin. The question is, what is sin? And to understand sin is to understand why we need a Savior, why God sent Jesus into the world, why he was born of a virgin in a human body and came and taught, and his death, burial, and resurrection is the answer for sin. But what is sin? Sin is a transgression of the revealed will of God, which teaches that we are to act in perfect holiness from a heart of faith to the glory of God. Amen? And in that, sin is an attitude or desire or action that explicitly breaks a commandment of Scripture or comes from a heart of unbelief or is not done for the glory of God. So, you know, people list a lot of things in sins in the church and church traditions and traditions of men, and you shouldn't be doing this and that if you're a Christian. But we have to look what the Bible says about sin. Amen? So sin is a transgression from the revealed will of God, which teaches that we are to act in perfect holiness from a heart of faith to the glory of God. So we have to search God's word to get the full understanding. I'm going to give some scripture references here because this is not our discussion tonight, but as always, this is an opportunity for you to deep dive into scripture, study for yourself, read the word for yourself, get understanding for the word, and then applying the word as you come to understand it and learn it, because that's what we call to be as Christians, not just men, but all Christians. And us as husbands and fathers, how we are mentoring and discipling our children, and we are mentoring our wives. Amen? So the scripture I want to give you for what is sin, 1 John chapter 3, verse number 4. Romans chapter 5, verse 13. Romans chapter 14, verse 23. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 16. Matthew chapter 5, verse 48, and 1 Corinthians 10, verse 31. And I encourage you to do a deep dive, do a study on those scriptures, on those verses, and see what is sin and how we are called to live in this life. Amen? Amen. Amen. So I encourage you to reach out for that. All right, we're going to go into our conversation for tonight. We're going to be talking about humbling ourselves and living a life of humility. Humility. And again, I like to define words so we're all on the same page of where we're kicking off and where we're starting from here. So our launching pad, I would say. So we all have to be on the same place so we can start the same together as we take this journey and seek for understanding, seek for God's grace and his revealed will and his truth. Again, that it might encourage you. As always, here at Issues Christian Men's Talk, I do not put myself or any of my guests here. We're not on pedestals trying to look down and tell you how you should live and how you should do, but I will encourage you that you need to study the Word of God for yourself and then apply that Word as you start to understand it. And we are called to have, this is why we have the church. This is why we have pastors. This is why we have teachers. This is why we have men of God who hold us accountable. Our circle of influence, our group that holds us accountable, is that we can live out this thing. And then again, always it's about submission. Submission to the things as we learn and understand them, and submission to the Holy Spirit, which is living in each of us as confessed believers in Jesus Christ. Amen. So first, let me welcome my guest. Pastor Gibbs, can you hear me, sir? How are you this evening?
Hey, I can hear you. Thank you so much for inviting me.
Amen. Well, thank you for taking time out, bro. Thank you for taking time out and being available. I know we had to make some changes here at the last minute, but you're here, so all is well. It's all in God's will. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. So we're good. Again, I thank you very much for being flexible. So we talk about humility.
No, it's okay.
And we're going to define, amen. And we're going to talk about humility. We define it as absence of pride. I'm going to start there. Humility can be defined as an absence of pride. And it's not thinking, and we have to be careful, too, because it's not thinking less of others, because that's not being humble, but thinking less of ourselves, no matter who we are, what our position is, and we have responsibility, and we think we're above it all because God either graced us or we have been thrown in circumstances that we think that, you know, we don't have to be humble. We should be proud of our achievements and what we've done and what we've become and what we overcame. Mm-hmm. And you already lost your humility if that's what you're working with. What do you say, sir, when we talk about humility and how important that is in the lives of a man?
Okay. Again, thank you so much for having me. God bless you to all the men who are listening. Humility, when you look at it from a historical standpoint and a cultural standpoint, simply just meant that you didn't think of yourself above everyone else. Like, everyone has their own special gifts and talents and abilities, but you didn't think of it, you know, to be humble was to say, okay, even though I have these things, I'm still not better than the next man. That we're all equal. We just all have different abilities, different capabilities, so on and so forth. And so it's really about thinking about the whole and not saying that you're on top and everyone else is beneath you.
Amen. Amen. I agree. That's the way it starts. I mean, because, you know, I think that's where it really starts. And I think part of, like, being humble is remembering where we started and where we came from in the natural and in the spiritual. Remember what God has done for us and who we used to be or who we were.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And I think that's the thing we have to remember. I think that's the beginning, never forgetting where you came from. And I think that's a character issue. That's really about us, you know, staying connected with and being grateful and having gratitude of what is the things that we have in our life. We're going to talk about this in two parts. We're going to talk about the natural, because as we know,
okay,
you know, we do a lot. We do a lot to make these achievements in college and workplace and move up in the corporate ladder or even in our specialty. You know, moving up, one to get it, you know, one to be a promotions, all those things we chase, and how we handle even that, because that again, the our character is God's going to hold us accountable for our character in the natural and in the spiritual. So we're going to talk about the natural. What do you say about that? How important is that to remember where we all started? I'll put it this way, and you can share is remember we all were once the new guy. You know what I mean? No matter where we at, we were the new guy at one time. What do you say, sir?
True. I totally agree. I think a lot of times when we remember, you know, where we came from, sometimes it's so traumatic that we do everything possible to not so much as forget it, but try to put the accomplishments that we've made from the time we left present to make that to really overshadow what took place. And the thing is that when you are looking back and you're saying, okay, this is where I came from, you really need to look back and go, I'm appreciative of where I started, and then look at it for hidden gems and different insights, not only into who you are as a person, but also remembering those who are still there. That's dealing with that particular, you know, like neighborhood or situation. So a lot of times, you know, it's not that we're trying to, you know, mentally say I'm going to be prideful, but sometimes we do it out of a place of pain, do so much, and then in the midst of us talking to our peers or family, and, you know, you're talking, we're so afraid of them trying to bring back where we came from, that you begin to exert what you're doing now and begin to magnify all of your accomplishments so that it could drown out where you came from. But if you look at it from a healthy position and place, when you look back from where you came from, you can go, I learned my work ethic there because it was so, you know, if I didn't work, I didn't eat. Or if I didn't hustle and make things happen, then my family would have been worse off than what they already were. Or if I didn't, you know, look at my surroundings and say, I want to be better. And so I had to put myself in a position to be around men and women who were doing things that I wanted to do. And so even though sometimes they may have hurt my feelings and things that they said, I'm glad I put myself in those positions because it helped change my mindset. And so I think that as men, we have to really just look at our past and not look at it from a place of shame, but really go, okay, this is where I have come from, and this is the things that happened not only to me but around me. But then begin to go, okay, let's look at it from a healthier place, from a mindset that I want to help the next person. And so that's where that humility comes in. When you go, there was nothing really special about me. It wasn't that I made so many great choices you know, there was this one person who saw something in me, and they began to, you know, reach out, and they took me under their wing. And so I could have been prideful and say, nah, man, I do it myself, but I had to look at it and go, I want to be better. I want my family to have better. And so instead of me taking the road where thinking that I'm better than even the person who's trying to help me, I just submitted myself and committed myself to discipline so that I could be better. So I think that a lot of times, you know, when we look at it from where we've come from, we really got to just take a step back and take it scene by scene like you're looking at a movie.
Amen, sir. Yeah, you know, I appreciate it. So as you were speaking, you know, some things came to my mind that, yeah, we had to, at some time, we to achieve, I think that's the thing. And for young brothers out there that are listening, if you're under, I'll pick an age here, if you're under 20, if you're under 30 years old, those years from 20 to 29 to 30, those are your years where you're going to learn a lot if you are humble and are willing to be teachable. That's the word I'm looking for, to have a teachable spirit.
Yeah.
And that course is from in the church and also in the natural. If you're in a place and you're starting a job, and you know, I'll say this. Some of us, we get out of high school, mm-hmm. we go to a workplace, and we have to pick up an ethic. We have to learn to listen and follow directions. I don't want to make a blanket statement, but some of our young brothers out there in their 20s, early 20s, from, I'll say, 19 to 29, those are your humbling years where you need to listen and learn that you may achieve. I mean, it doesn't matter where you come from. Even I'll share this because I also believe, too, you know, even coming out of college, there's some stuff you don't know. Because
mm-hmm.
college don't teach you everything. It gives you a springboard. That's what I'm looking for. It gives you a foundation, the springboard. But you still, if you really consider it, what are we paying you? What are you actually going to do? What are you bringing there? Besides a willingness to learn the exact task, no matter what degree you might get, that first position, you're learning to do it their way, either corporately or wherever you are, you're learning. There's always a learning process, and I think that's the biggest thing, that pride can stop you to think that you know it all, that you are not being teachable and willing to learn to be able to progress. And in the natural, that can be a struggle. You know, because you have young, you know, every man has to search his own heart. You know, if you come in prideful and think you know it all and you go to a job, you're going to find out very shortly that you don't know it all. You may have the principles down. You may have the understanding, but you have not actually done it. And that's where we struggle. And then for my other young brothers out there who may not have been lucky or financially able or whatever to go to college, and you're starting in the job, you need to go there with a spirit of, I need to learn how to do this. I need to be this. Or, and again, like you said, if I need to go to work because I got to, you know, support a family or myself or whatever your circumstances is, that should be humbling to you until your opportunity comes. You know, and I think that's part of the humility that I will share that with the young folk, any young brothers out there might be listening, or for those fathers out there, this is the things we have to instill in our children, both sons and daughters, on how to go into a workplace, you know, first professional, because that's something you have to be taught, you have to know, but also to not you know, go in there with the attitude of I want to be teachable. That doesn't mean you're going to be, you know, harassed and you got to take anything, because your character and your principles and what you stand for, that's going to come out. You're not going to submit to some craziness, but are you there to learn to move on to the next level? Because you're going to have to learn from someone. And you can't, and I'll
right.
share this, because I need to say this too about, and that, for my 30 and unders. Don't go in the workplace. I heard this a long time ago. Matter of fact, I heard this from Bishop Jakes. This is way back when I used to. I heard this from Bishop Jakes. He was talking about this. We don't all go to work to make friends. You know what I mean? And that's where I think a lot of young folk think they go to work to make friends. I mean, that may come later, but don't go to work looking to be friends with everybody, because everybody ain't there going to be your friend. And that's the thing, because when you come right out of college or high school or whatever, when you go to on a job, people get into, they get in a lot of trouble for trying to be everybody's friend, because you're not, you're not there to be friends. You're there to do a job. And I mean, a lot of young people, I've seen it, I witnessed it over my years and being in different places and different positions, that, you know, trying to make friends at work, how about do the job and then see? Because, again, it's like anything else in life. The cream will rise to the top. And I talk to my, and I say to my brothers out there, if you're over 30, you know. Because you know, you're over 30 years old, and you know there's still some dudes who are right where you left them 10 years ago, doing the same stuff they was doing at 18, 19, and 20. I won't call out no names because I don't offend nobody. But you know. So I just want to plant that seed in all that are listening, especially the young ones coming up behind. And then to know and understand that. You can discuss these things with your father or with your mentor or your other brothers, and you need to understand what that really means. But I think humility is one of the things. I think it is. Go ahead, brother. What were you going to say?
I was going to say, I used to work in IT, and I didn't have any certification whatsoever. None. Zero. Not A+, not anything. And I went in as a temp. Temporary worker, and I saw we started out with a crew of 30 working for this company, and by the end of the week, the crew went from a crew of 30 to a crew of 5 to a crew of 2. And those who came in without the certifications and thinking that they knew it all, we found that they were the hardest to work with because they couldn't be teachable. They wasn't humble enough to hear that we did things in a different system, though they understood the concept of the programs itself and how they operated. They wouldn't sit down to be taught how we used it within this particular setting. And then those who were always trying to be friends with everyone, they found that they spent so much time trying to be your friend that they wasn't working. And so nobody was looking for friends. We were looking for you to work. And so once we got weeded out those who had a whole lot of pride, those who were trying to be friends, it was nothing but me and another guy. And so I ended up working for that particular company 7 years and then another 3 years off and on. And it was mainly because I went in, I did my work, I was humble enough to be taught. There were things that the programmers taught me, which made me to be a better asset to the company, to my peers that I was working with, you know, so on and so forth. So a lot of times, you know, you can go in a situation with a mindset that I already know, and you're going to find out that you really don't know as much as you think you know. And you find yourself working yourself out of a job instead of working yourself into one. And then trying to be a friend to everyone, you'll find out that, you know, friendship will come and go. That's something that'll happen organically, but you went there to work and not to make friends.
Amen. And that's a lesson. Now, hopefully some brothers out there that were in that right now, and they're in that stage of their career, they take heed. And for the fathers out there and the mentors, you discuss this with your mentoree, your son, your nephews, and that it's a transition from wherever they're from being either college, high school, or whatever. It's a trend. When you're going into the workplace, you got to go in with a different mindset. Pride will kill. Pride will kill you. It'll kill you in your reputation. It'll kill you in how people see you, how even people respect you. You know, you'll be prideful and you say and do things, and people won't respect that, because that's not being a man. That's not standing up. What was it? It used to be David Chappelle used to make these skits, keeping it 100.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Keeping it 100, that'll get you in trouble, because, you know, sometimes you have to have humility and humble yourself. And like you said, being teachable. I mean, that doesn't mean you have to take abuse and stuff, because that's different. But you do have to be able to listen. And I like what you said about, yeah, and you're right about IT. I know some IT folk. And, yeah, they come right out of school. They took it certificates and the cyber, and they did all these things and walk into the workplace and don't want to listen to nothing. Because, you know, it's getting certified and actually doing the job is two separate things. And that, you know, you have to, you know, some people don't learn that. You can be fully technically, you have the understanding, but you don't have the application.
Right.
Listen, I'll put it like that. You might have the understanding of how it all works, but then the application. That's what you get. That's what we're everywhere where you will go when it comes to in the natural, in the workplace. Or you may have the understanding, but the application is where you become valuable. Can you apply it to the circumstances and do the job that they want you to do? And follow their procedures, because, again, that's what I talk about. Most jobs, they have that 90-day training period or whatever that, okay, you qualify. Mm-hmm. A man told me one time, all you did by going to school and getting yourself educated is you qualify, you just qualified not to get disqualified. You may not be ready. You just qualified not to get disqualified. Because anybody don't have your qualifications didn't even make the list to get the interview, to get the job offer. So you just qualified not to get disqualified. I'm going to leave that right there. Hopefully that'll help somebody, and then hopefully some mature brothers will hear that and be able to share that, again, with those that you are mentoring, discipling, your sons, your nephews, and help them to transition into adulthood. Because we have to grow and mature. And some of the natural thing is it is about learning how to be humble and knowing what humility is and how to carry ourselves. Amen? Amen. So you're listening to Issues Christian Men Talk. I'm Deacon Thomas Farm here with Pastor Alphonse. Oh, I'm sorry. I said it right? Alphonse?
Alpheus.
Sorry. I'm sorry, brother. That's why I'm sticking with Gibbs. Pastor Gibbs. Pastor Gibbs.
I know it's all
tonight,
over. It's okay.
Amen. Amen. Well, we're here with Pastor Gibbs, and we're talking about humility and living a life that is humble and pleasing to God and what it really means. Amen. And now we talked a little bit about the temporal realm, but now I want to share also, well, we're going to take a commercial break right here because I'm going to share some information. We're starting for the brothers, you received this text, the link for this episode on your text. You can also text me. We are starting up a Thursday night, 8 p.m. Zoom men's discussion, men's group gathering. One of the ministries I'm connected with, it will be part of the Coalition of Men's Ministries. They're setting up to do a weekly Zoom meeting, and they're working off of a devotional right now. And it's starting back up. I'll say that. But if you text me and request it, I'll send you the link, the call-in number. You'll be part of the Zoom group. And hopefully soon in the future here, we'll be gathering face-to-face here locally in the Baltimore, D.C. area. But for right now, we are moving forward with a Zoom event. So if you text me, I can text you the link. It's on Thursdays at 8 p.m. So text me if you're interested, and I can send you the link. You can join in with us, and we'll go from there. Also, you can reach out to us on our Facebook page, Issues Christian Men's Talk. If your church is starting up any men's events, men's conferences, any gatherings, please let us know. We can post them. I know we have one coming up here in Annandale, Virginia, on October the 23rd. It's Capital Baptist Church. They're having we call it a half day. It's going to be from 7:30 a.m. to 12:30 p.m. Men's conference, and it's Annandale, Virginia. It's Capital Baptist Church. Again, if you go to Issues Christian Men's Talk Facebook page, we posted the information there, the link for you to register. It's a free event. It's their first one. Before the pandemic, they had annual weekend conferences, but this is the first one after the pandemic, I would say post-pandemic. So it's going to be a half a day there at the church. And the registration is going to be free, so you just have to go online so they can get a head count, because they still have to maintain a certain numbers in the building on the campus. But I encourage you the opportunity, if you're here in D.C., Virginia, Maryland, or you need a road trip from anywhere else, if you heard this link, go to the Facebook page, check the link out, register. Again, it's a free event, and that's on October the 23rd. It's Capital Baptist Church in Annandale, Virginia. Amen. Amen. All right, Pastor Gibbs, we're going to move forward. Now, we talked about the natural. Hopefully that encouraged someone. But now in the spiritual realm, when it talks about humility and what God is seeking, mm-hmm. and what God wants from us as men of God, as the body of Christ, and who we are as his children. Because we are first called to humble ourselves to the will of God and know that God, you know, we ask God to do that. He would examine us and purge us of anything that in our heart that's not pleasing to him. And our submission to his word, submission to his will, you know, how we respond and who God is. And I think that's part of our faith and who we are as Christians. You know, we have to learn to be humble before him, to know that we are sinners and God chooses to save us, not because we were deserved, nothing we have done, because, again, our sin is like filthy rags before him. And it's not like we, you know, just because, we don't deserve the salvation that Christ has paid for. So we should be humble when we approach God and who God called us to be and how God chooses to use us. We need to humble ourselves in the spiritual realm. What do you say to that, sir? Hold on. We have some technical difficulties here. Pastor Gibbs, can you hear me? Uh-oh, I'm not sure what happened here. But we're going to move forward. We're going to talk about. I'm going to give you some scriptures here. I want to talk about when we talk about humility. First of all, again, I encourage you to do a deep study. We're going to talk about Proverbs 22:4, where it says, "By humility and the fear of the Lord are riches and honor and life." And our following scripture is Proverbs 29:23. "A man's pride shall bring him low, but honor shall uphold the humble of spirit." Amen. So we have to understand that what God wants for us when it comes to humility before him, to know that we humbly stand before him and are thankful for all he's doing and all that he's done, that he is doing in our life. So, again, we ask that, you know, we have to see God in all things that we do. We have to be humble before him. Humility increases when we are willing to be humbled by God through circumstances and others. You know, because our sinful natures, you know, the sin in the pride that lives within us and our natures sometimes won't let us be humble. You know, we tend to protect our pride. We think pride is a thing that we should be fighting for in defense. But, you know, again, humility is defined by the absence of pride. You know, just like darkness is the absence of light, this is what humility is. We have to remove the pride that stops us from being able to know God, see God, and be blessed by God, and to be used by him. So I encourage you, brothers, to seek it out, to seek him in who he is and what he's doing. And just know that God has a purpose and plan for every one of us, you know. And I just wanted to encourage you in that, because we have to be able to be in a place where we're humble. And in humility sometimes is a struggle for us, because, again, our flesh rises up. We think we want what we want when we want to get it, and people should also be able to respect and appreciate us. Just imagine how you feel. When was the last time that you felt unappreciated or overlooked for something? That you wasn't appreciated for something you did. You wasn't appreciated for the things that you do. You know, and especially in the church sometimes. I mean, we got to remember, leaders, pastors, you know, they're only human too, and they have responsibilities. And sometimes some of the things we do, we look to be either show appreciation to, pat it on our back, and if we don't get it and how we think we should get it, we have a problem and how we respond to that. That is our problem with pride and humility, when we are not appreciated or we are not called out and congratulated or thanked. How do we struggle with not being thanked for the things that we do? For all that we serve and those around us, those in our families, those in our church, those in the community, especially. Sometimes the body of Christ does things and people never will be able to acknowledge or thank for it. Amen? So sometimes we just have to be in a place where humility, where we know that God knows. And that's the thing that I personally get through sometimes when I struggle. When you put yourself out, when you try and do things and try and make things happen. And you remember, God knows, because in ministry, you're not going to always get thanked by folk that you pray for, thanked or acknowledged for the things that you're doing with poor folk and how God is using you. You have to remember, God is using you. You know, God knows who you are. God knows your skills. He knows what you can do and what you have to do, you know, to be able to lead and direct your families and guide your families. So I encourage you, brothers, stay encouraged with that. Let not your circumstances, you know, dictate how you respond. Keeping a humble spirit will keep you from that place where pride kicks in. Because remember, pride just begins with anger. It manifests itself, it festers, and it can destroy your witness. And that's the biggest thing. That pride will definitely destroy our witness. You know, as a man, I'm going to go to another scripture for your study and for your hearing. We go to Proverbs 29 and 23. A man's pride shall bring him low, but honor shall uphold the humble in spirit. That's Proverbs 29 and 3. So I encourage you, you know, to meditate on that word, to meditate on Proverbs 29 and 3, because we have to be able to, We have to set an example for our children. We have to set an example in our homes, that we understand that what it takes to be that man that God called us to be a leader in the home and set the example. Because, you know, when we struggle with pride, we struggle how and why and what we're doing, it's hard. It's hard. But, again, I always want to encourage you to be able to be in that place where you can be used by God, and that is through humility. Amen? Amen. There's a lot of examples given, again, in when it comes to humility. Of course, Jesus Christ. We have to start there. He is our example. He modeled humility. Just the fact that he came down from the presence of God and was sent to earth in the form of a man, born of a virgin, born not with glorious entry, but humbly to the point where he was laid in the manger, didn't have a place to live from a newlywed couple who were traveling, and his birth was foretold in that time and that place. And he was humbled. We talk about Moses. Now, the Bible says, I believe it's in Numbers chapter 12, it talks about Moses was more humble than any other person. That humility, because he was submitted unto God. He's seen God do so many things. He knew he couldn't do it in his own strength, because he even told God at the burning bush that what he couldn't do. He was unsure of himself, but yet God used him. God put people in his life. He put his brother Aaron. He put his father-in-law in his life to guide and direct him, that he could lead Israel out of bondage. And then even in the humility, he gave him the power to stand before Pharaoh. You know, I know we all have seen that the Ten Commandment movie, but for Moses to stand before, at the time, Pharaoh was the greatest power on earth, to stand and plead for the people's release and speak for God, that was humbling, because it wasn't out of his own strength. It was out of what he believed and knew that God was used him and knew who he was in God. We talk about Paul. He had to remind the Corinthians, even though he was the apostle, he was the evangelist, he did great miracles, he came and preached the gospel of life to them and stood before them and preached it. He humbled it because he said he was a sinner. He was a sinner. He was humbled that he was among them to be able to do that. And that's what we have to be, even in the midst of the humility to be a leader. It takes humility. Because without humility, we cannot be the fathers. We cannot be the husbands that God has called us to be without being humble, and not take for granted the position that he put us in. Because to lead, again, in the home, it's humbling. It's humbling to be able to, you realize that God gave you the responsibility for raising your children. God has given you the responsibility to love your wife, to build a family, to be the provider, the protector, and the support for your family spiritually and naturally. So I encourage you, brothers, consider what it means to be humble. Jesus taught us that those who wish to be great must be the most humble. You know, in Matthew 23, he talks about those who are great in the kingdom will be those who are humble, who are willing to serve. Look what Christ did. We talk about, I know a lot of you have heard sermons on Christ washing the feet of the apostles. You have to understand what that was really about, that the person, the slave, you was the lowest slave. We talked about earlier about being a new guy on the job, humbling yourself enough to learn. We're talking about the lowest of the slaves, of all the slaves, and the least of those slaves was the one who was usually responsible for washing the feet of visitors that came into a home. You know, that's a cultural thing. So I encourage you that we ought to be that humble. And there's a lot of other places in Scripture where we have the command to be humble. Again, let me share some with you again for your study and for your understanding, for your meditation. So, because every man has to look into his heart, look into his mind, look into who he is, look into his character and what he wants to be known as, an obedient, humble servant of Christ. Because even in the church and in the body of Christ, we can sometimes be prideful and boastful of our position or even what God has done for us and through us. And we think it's all about us, and it's not. You know, we're called to love one another. We're called to continue with one another and strengthen one another. And that only comes with humility. Because as I like to remind, you know, humility, it takes a lot to be able to minister to someone and strengthen and encourage them and walk through some things with them. Because everyone is not going to be supernaturally delivered as soon as you lay hands on them and pray for them, and they're going to be set free from those things. Amen? So our humility is to continue to pray with people, stand with people through their ups and downs and through their trials and tribulations. And that takes a humbling spirit, because pride will, you know what pride will do? And my religious and church folk will know this. Pride will say, man, they're still praying about that. They've been going through that for years. When are they going to stop? That's pride, because you don't know what it takes for them to be delivered from that thing. But now you have a problem because they're praying about the same thing for years and years and years. Amen? Amen. Pastor Gibbs, you're back. I see you're back. Can you hear me, sir?
Yes, sir.
Amen. How you doing? Good to hear from you. Welcome. I see we had a technical thing, but I got you back here. And I was continuing the conversation just talking about humility and some biblical examples about in our spiritual walk. How important it is that we would stay humble, even in the midst of what God is using us, what he's doing, you know, in us and through us. And as we mature, and then we are given responsibility and authority within the body of Christ, and how it is most important for the man of God, as a servant of God, to stay humble. What do you say, sir?
Oh, humility when God is in you, when God is using you, is so powerful, because as God is using you and you continue to remain humble, God opens up even more doors, because now you can be trusted not only to be with those who are of high estate, high position or whatever, but even with those who people will overlook. You know, there's nothing like a person who can treat the doorman with the same amount of respect as they would the CEO. When you are humble, that shows a level of self-control and a level of the love of God and a love for your fellow man that transcends words. I mean, you know, when things are going well and God is, you know, multiplying everything you put your hands to, you know, your family is doing good, you're feeling good, you know, things are going well at your work or your business, you know, that's the time when pride wants to sneak in, because you can look around and go, look what I did and look how much work I've accomplished. But then when you do those things, when you say those things to yourself, you diminish the people who work with you, those people who supported you to help you get to where you are. You begin to even overlook those times when you struggled and you wasn't there, when you wasn't getting it. And your marriage was, you know, it was frustrating. I'm not going to say it was rocky or whatever, because it's not always the complete negative. But, you know, sometimes in our marriages, we're not vibing. Things are not, you know, where they should be or where you want them to be. And it's not because of cheating or you know, mistreatment or anything. But just, you know, sometimes we just don't really mesh well in certain times. And so when things are going well and God is blessing and he's using you, you know, that's the time when, you know, the adversary, the enemy comes in and he begins to say, hey, you know, look at all the work you've accomplished. And, you know, you're doing good for yourself. It's like, no, thank God that I'm here. And it took a lot of work and it took a lot of help. You know, that's when you really begin to attribute honor to those who honor is due. It's in those hours and those times when you say, God, I just thank you for this opportunity to be where I am. And that's how you begin to show humility. And that's why humility is so important. A lot of times, you know, because I was always like a young preacher among so many older preachers, because I was so humble for any opportunity to be used, whether it was to clean the bathroom or whether it was to pray in front of the people, I was grateful and humble enough to just, you know, thank God for those opportunities, that they opened up doors for me to go places that I never thought that I would go and be able to minister to people that I never thought I would be able to. But also in those same times, God, you know, even in those moments when he would use me, you know, and I would begin to just, okay, maybe I am, you know, there's something to what God is doing within me. God would always send me a mentor or send, you know, my spiritual father would come and say, hey, you know, even though you're doing these things, make sure that you're not allowing this to go to your head. But look at how much of a service God is using you and for you to, you know, for you to render service to other people. And so you really want to make sure that you lift up other people so that you don't find yourself when you are being blessed going, it's lonely at the top. It's only lonely because you left everybody behind and you didn't boost them up and you didn't, you know what I'm saying, you didn't share that love and share that wisdom with them so that everybody could win and can prosper together.
Amen, amen, sir. And that's one of the things we have to also, too, because, you know, as we are blessed by God and used by him, we have to get to that point, too, where we understand that we are as leaders in this body of Christ, let me say that, let's begin there. You know, we have to remember that we are under shepherds. We are not the shepherd. Christ is our shepherd. We're under shepherds, and we have a responsibility to guide and direct and grow and disciple people, the church. I mean, you know, that the positions that we are given when we're given authority, and, I mean, we have a lot of titles and names for it. I'm not going down that path tonight. But when we're in those positions, it's about serving the people. It's not about the people serving us. I'm going to put that out there. It's about how we continually to serve, to disciple them. And like you said, you know, Paul mentioned over, as you read through his letters, and especially those letters near when he was near his death, he thanked a lot of co-laborers, fellow servants, mm-hmm. fellow bond servants. These are the people that ministered and helped him. He went on 3 missionary journeys. You don't go out in Asia Minor and Europe on 3 missionary journeys by yourself. You know, and then he's planting churches. He's doing those things. He's doing a lot of things. That more, God used him to evangelize the Gentiles, and he did a lot of things, and he didn't do it by himself. And as you read, that's why I encourage every man out there to read the scriptures for yourself and get an understanding of what Paul and what was being said there. He thanked over 50 or 60 people throughout his ministry career until he was put to death for their help and service. So none of us should think that we're doing anything without the help of others. And if we're not bringing people along, like you said, if you're lonely at the top, let me say this. I'm gonna give a disqualifier. If for the body of Christ to be lonely at the top, you didn't do something right. Because there should be people bringing along to you. You should be maturing people to stand by you. Just because you shared the gospel with them and you taught them and you brought them up, that don't mean, you know, that doesn't mean they can never be your peers. That's not how the church works. That's not how the body of Christ works. You know? And we have to individually see that. As I raised up, I think, and I bring it back to us as fathers, because we all have the same roles, husbands, fathers, sons. As fathers, mm-hmm. you know, we see our sons as our counterpart. At some point, we want to raise our sons that he can stand side by side with us. You know, I take back to the we have a different culture now. But in other cultures, either warrior or agricultural, a man raised his son to come alongside him at a certain age. You know, even in Israel, there was a time when a boy had to take his place as a man amongst the tribe, amongst his people. You know, that's what the whole bar mitzvah thing was about. It was time for a young man to take his place as a man in the tribe to continue on what was going on. And, you know, in other cultures, there was others, maturity type things to recognize the transition from boy to man. But in this culture, we really don't mm-hmm. have it because we have full-grown men acting like boys, but that's a whole other show and discussion. But as we're right. talking tonight about humility, it's that's where I think humble, because what are we willing to share? Are we willing to give our all? Because, again, we got to remember, what did Christ give up for our salvation? That's the ultimate humility. What did he willingly give? Remember, the Romans and the Jews, they didn't kill him. He gave his life for our salvation. So who are we giving our life for that they might be saved, that they might live out right. the gospel, that they what they might do, you know? And I think every man has to look at that. Because, you know, that's where we talk about authority and responsibility and being humble, knowing it's not about us. What do you say, sir? That important? I think that thing, knowing that, again, and it goes back, I will add this part too, when we come to you, is you don't need a title to be a man of God. Because there's people in your life, I always say, there's people in your life, in your circle that you know, that only are going to hear the gospel from you and be discipled by you. But you have to be in a place mm-hmm. where you're ready, you're going to humble yourself to be able to stand with them, stand by them, and share the word with them. What do you say, sir?
I totally agree. And I think right now, so many are looking for someone to affirm them and to guide them. And then by the same token, when it happens, they're kind of nervous and afraid. And so I think, you know, as men, we need someone to be around us to say, it's okay to be humble. It's okay to be discipled. It's okay, you know, to not know, but also kind of give us that guidance that we need so that we can transition, because you can have the age of a man but not the mentality of one. And the whole part of the bar mitzvah and everything was a display of what they had learned over the course of their life already up to that moment, to display that they are mature enough to handle the Torah and to at least guide their family to a certain point. And I think right now, especially with today's society here in America, we have many who don't know really anything. And then when you try to guide them, they kind of get an attitude. And I think the frustration comes from a place of embarrassment and shame. So I think a lot of the men, we deal with a lot of shame, more so than anything. I think that even when it comes to, and I know this is going to sound taboo and you know, controversial or whatever, but I think that even when it comes to, you know, the LGBTQ community, is that it's not that people are homophobic or anything. I think that a lot of the things that they are allowed to do when straight men were, you know, or young boys would do it, not that they even, you know, had a liking for the same sex, but just some things that they were, that, you know, people of that community are allowed to do or seen doing. For a straight male, it's considered, you know, you're down talked and ridiculed for. And so we deal with a lot of shame. And so it's hard to display and walk in humility and self-confidence when you have so much shame to weed through and fight through. And so I believe that, you know, especially here now in this day and age, As much as information is prevalent to all of us, just even the mere fact of being in certain arenas and certain learning spaces, you know, it still brings about those traumatic feelings, traumatic experiences. And I believe that, you know, as men, mature men, we should be able to affirm, you know, our sons and our young men and even our aged men, you know, that it's okay. You're who you are, what have you. Stay with the Word of God and stay within the confines of the Word of God. But definitely, you know, allow yourself to learn these things and to walk in humility, because humility is oftentimes looked at as a weakness and not a strength.
Yes, sir. You know, I agree. And that when you say that too, that's what it is. Is a lot of it shame, a lot of it struggle, and for young brothers, it's finding their identity. That's why it's important that we as men of God, especially as men of God, that we are communicating, that we're building relationships, because you know, I don't want to minimize it, but when we talk about sexuality and the things, especially now that's going on, you know, there's something that you're right. Young men get shamed about. They do certain things and it's shamed and it's hurtful. A lot of people talk about mental health, but you know, when we shame people about how they respond or how they carry themselves or what they do or what they look like or what they sound like, that could be a burden. Mm-hmm. And then when they find some place they can go, that where they're accepted for who they are, and they're not accepted in another quote unquote environment. You know mm-hmm. what I mean? That we all, as human beings, mm-hmm. we all gonna do that. If I'm not gonna go nowhere where I'm rejected, I may not be. You know, when I carry myself a certain way or I say a certain thing and I'm rejected, I'm gonna go somewhere where I'm accepted. I may not be all full out, but if I'm going somewhere where I'm accepted,
right.
Now I'm open. Because now I'm being shown compassion and love because some other folk didn't show me that because of how I was. Because, I remember a testimony of a brother. I usually don't share other people's testimonies, but I remember a brother who gave a testimony as a young man, as a young boy.
Mm-hmm.
He was raised by his mother, grandmother, and aunties. You know, he was in the house. And his testimony was, you know, he used to wear, like women come out of the shower, they wear a towel a certain way. And they wrap a towel around their head. We know what that looks like. We're married, you know, where we got girlfriends. But anyway, we know what that looks like. But him, that's all he ever saw. And his testimony was that I think it was either at a pool or it was in school somewhere. You know, when you take a shower at the gym or it might have been out at a public pool. And he put his towel on like that, and somebody pulled him up. You know, what are you doing? Why are you wearing your towel like that? Because as a man, we wear our towel on our waist, below our belly button, not up high. But that's all he saw. You see what I'm saying? So that's the other thing.
Right.
If we see it, are we ready to ridicule a mock? Or hopefully there's a mature person there that can see what's going on and realize, if this brother never seen a man in a towel, he's wearing a towel the way he's seen the towel worn. And, you know, again, unfortunately, his mama, grandmother, and aunties let him walk around the house like that, and they didn't correct him. But, again, this is what I'm talking about. Those are the kind of things we have to and when that pressure hits, and then when it comes out another way, now we're going to be pushed to a place where where he can find acceptance. You know, praise God, you know, he had some people who came to him in a different way. And that was part of his testimony because he didn't know any better. It's the same thing when we go other things. I mean, that's a blatant example. But in our psyches, we have to be careful how we talk to young men. And not normal say young. I want to say young because, again, to me, anybody under 30 is young right now where I'm at in my life. But that's where it starts. But we have to understand, that's where they start to find their identity. And like everything else, even from our heterosexual to our LGBTQ, there's always predators. That's the other thing. And if we don't give people, young people, protection against predators, then they're vulnerable. It's heterosexual predators, there's LBQT predators, you know, so we're dealing with a lot of stuff going on here. But us, again, as a church, as men of God, as husbands and fathers, these are the kind of things that we have to be able to engage. And again, it goes back to humility. We have to have teachable spirits. And then we have to be humble enough on how we approach folk that we're trying to mentor, because that's where the humility comes. Or in positions of authority and responsibility, we have to be humble enough and know that the people that we're dealing with are God's and not ours. And we care, and our tactics, and we don't bully folk, but we just show them the love of Christ. Because, you know, what did Jesus do? He called out from the religious ones to the Jews, just the rank and file Jews. He showed them love. He showed them what God the kingdom was. And then as Paul went out to the Gentiles who had no background in the things of Judaism, he went amongst their cultures and was able to spread the gospel. That's why I love reading about Paul and Peter, because they went to people who didn't know nothing about the Old Testament and none of the temple worship, none of that. But yet they could tell and share the gospel of Jesus Christ with them, that their souls might be saved. So we have to be that, and we have to have that wisdom and discernment. And that takes humility, to know that we don't know it all, and then also to submit to the Holy Spirit and what he's saying to us and how he wants to use us in a particular situation. Brother, I'm going to come to you. I'm going to let you give the final closing statement and closing prayer again. I appreciate you for spending time and wisdom. I want to keep you, but I do appreciate you, man, for answering the call and being part of the discussion and our ongoing discussion. Oh, whoa, our ongoing discussion. What are we again, the first Tuesday of the month? Yes, we're the first Tuesday. The first Tuesday of the month, we're doing Boys to Men with the Trim Ministries on Zoom Live. If you go to Trim's Ministry on Facebook page, you'll be able to see the links there. It's posted, and also we post the conversations, and we also post the invitation. There at Issues Christian Men's Talk, but you Trim's Ministry with Pastor Jasmine Ortiz out of the Bronx, New York, and we're doing a men's talk there monthly on the first Tuesday live, but once it's done, it's saved. And it's saved there on the Facebook page. Again, it's Trim Ministries or Pastor Jasmine Ortiz. Amen. And again, Deacon Thomas Farr, this has been Issues Christian Men's Talk. And again, brothers, if you got this link, text me. We got Thursday nights at 8 p.m., we're starting a men's Zoom group with New Vision for Life Kingdom Builders. They're starting their men's group, is starting up, and they're doing Zoom right now. Hopefully soon, moving down the road, we'll be able to come together physically, but here they're doing it on Zoom. Also, I remind you of the men's conference at the Capital Baptist Church in Annandale, Virginia. That's Capital Baptist Church, October the 23rd, Annandale, Virginia. You can go to the website, and you can find the link there, or you can go to our Facebook page, It's Christian Men's Talk, and I posted the link there. It's free. Free men's conference from 7:30 a.m. to 12:30 p.m. It's a half a day. It was before the pandemic. This was a weekend conference, but this year is the first time. It's the first one back after the pandemic. So post-pandemic, you have to register. Registration is free, but you have to register because you have to keep the head count in the building to a safe level. Here in Virginia, we have different rules and standards. I mean, we're there in Virginia. I'm not there, but I plan on going, so hurry up and get there so I can see you there. Amen? Amen. Again, Pastor Gibbs, thank you again, brother. You have the closing statement, and then you can close us out in prayer, and I appreciate you very much.
Okay. Well, thank you, Deacon Farr, for so much wisdom, knowledge, and just this even this opportunity. My final thoughts is this. Humility is a process. When, as your mind continues to grow, stretch, and mature, so will your humility. So will you begin to turn around and look at different incidents and situations over your life. And you'll begin to see where humility has taken you places that you never thought that you would go, but also by the same token, places where you should have been humble and you're not. Oftentimes, pride blinds us to teachable moments in our life, moments wherein we could have actually had a decent conversation with the person and we would have been able to better understand them. Pride will blind us from having a healthy relationship where if we would have been humble in that relationship, it would have been strong and would have lasted for years on end. And so I want to encourage each and every man who's listening to this is that humility comes with great strength. It comes not only with great strength, but also great restraint. Because even though you have the ability to speak on the various things that you have done within your life, opportunities that you've been afforded, by sheerly looking at the next person and considering their feelings, considering where they are, and also understanding that they're in the process just like you were and still are in, humility will allow you to word things in a different manner so that you don't put your fellow man down to lift you up. But humility will reveal to you that it's in this moment right here where it's oftentimes just better to listen than to speak. It's better to love and try to understand than to try to prove a point. And so humility, in its totality, it grows, it stretches, and in all of its doing, it's allowing you to be what God has called you to be. It does not diminish you as a man, as a human being, but it really reveals not only your character, but it reveals all that you have gone through, because you didn't get to this place just by going to sleep and waking up, but it really took dedication and hard work to getting to this place of humility. So I want to pray with you, not just for you, but pray with you that you either walk in it or that God continues to allow you to be a humble man. So let us pray. Father, we just thank you and we praise you for all that you have done. We understand that all things work together for our good. And so, God, we don't want to look at our past and have much regret and much shame, but we want to look back at our past and see those areas where we need to learn different things from, and that in us looking at those things and seeing where you have brought us from, that it begins to bring about a level of humility and love, a humility that where we are right now, we didn't just get here overnight, but the love that you allow people to come at crucial moments in our life to help us build and to help us to grow. Maybe they were there to feed us and to give us clothing, or maybe they allowed us to sleep on the couch. But whatever the case may be, Father God, we just thank you for those things. Father God, that man that is dealing with pride, he's been so battered and so hurt from life's challenges that he doesn't see himself ever being in a place of humility. He feels as if he's worked this hard, and so he should be able to boast in those things. Father, I pray that you will open up his heart, that he would see that in all of his work, all of his doing, that he was not alone, that there were people who gave him opportunities when they didn't give other people opportunities, that there were people who taught him some things that they didn't teach others, or that they taught others. And so that it wasn't just all by himself, but there was a team of people always helping him along the way. And so, Father, I ask that you would remove the scale from his eyes, that he doesn't just see himself, but that he also sees that the legacy that he's leaving is not one that is godly, but that is one that is of pride and truly one of shame, because he's devoid of those who have sacrificed their time and their wisdom to impart it inside of him. I pray for those, oh God, who are in a humble place, but they're being battered by those who want to make them feel less than, because they don't get riled up when things happen, but they understand that every day is a new opportunity to walk in the grace and the mercy of God. Strengthen that brother. Encourage that brother by way of this broadcast or by any other means, God. We just want to let him know that he's not alone. Fortify his walls, that as the enemy, as the devil comes after him and tries to destroy his character, his marriage, and his family, or even his business or his job, that you are right there with him, oh God, and that you are shielding him and strengthening him all at the same time. Father, I just thank you for Deacon Farden for this opportunity. I pray that you allow this broadcast to just reach around the globe, and that men are not only encouraged by the words that are shared on here each and every time a broadcast go out, but God, that this broadcast brings about a level of healing so that men are no longer walking around broken, oh God, in need of repair, but they are walking around broken because they are no longer the shell of the man that they used to be, but they are now better. And so, Father, I just thank you that you are giving us this time, oh God, to seek your face and to hear a word of encouragement. We love you and we adore you. We appreciate you. And it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, brother.
John P. King.